le Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurvani Pachayane. Nirvasesa Sunivari Pasketari Satarine. It is a great pleasure and privilege to be with you all today to acknowledge this most significant event in New Vrindavan history. In the very place and on the very day that it all began, in this old and familiar place, imbued and resonating with most fond memories. When we come together to glorify Krishna, he may or may not take notice out of his deep humility. Conversely, when we unite in praise of his pure devotee, Krishna is very attentive and very eager to hear what is most delightful to his heart. And therefore, if we are also attentive, we can feel Krishna's presence, his pleasure, within and amongst us as we immerse our hearts in gratitude for the gift his pure devotee granted to us. Today's world is witnessing a time of extremes, when outdated systems are struggling with one another and with themselves and disintegrating, while simultaneously the earth is yearning to renew herself. And Srila Prabhupada gave us the example and the instructions on how that could come about. When we return to our roots, we experience a sense of unity, harmony, communion, and community, which in the deepest core of our hearts is what we're all seeking. And this is a great opportunity to experience that phenomena. When Srila Prabhupada arrived here, Lord Jagannath and little Vrindavan Chandra had already come. Jagannath from Montreal, Radha and Krishna from New York. And Srila Prabhupada commented on that before arriving. He said, it's so wonderful that in addition to Krishna giving you New Vrindavan, he has come himself. He indicated that there was only one thing lacking. He said, why are there no cows? So at that time, George Henderson gave a donation adequate to buy a cow, and Kaliya came. A little cow, crossed between Jersey and Holstein, beautiful brown eyes. She came just in time for Srila Prabhupada. And not only by the desire of Srila Prabhupada did a donation arrive to purchase a cow, at the same time arrived a cowherd boy named Parmananda, from Matchless Gifts, who showed up in New Vrindavan to inaugurate ISKCON's first cow protection initiative. And he also succeeded in the virtuous feat of taming the Agasura road, which was a formidable adversary for the greatest Vedic heroes. Now this, you might not understand what that means if you had not experienced the leelas of the Agasura road. And for those who think it's named Agasura because it was windy like a serpent, that's not the half of the matter. The truth is, the Agasura road could swallow trucks and tractors. And only the largest horses, when they came to a certain point in the road and they disappeared into the mud, only their heads floating above the surface. And then the driver of the wagon knew that as soon as the horses emerged on the other side of the mud hole, he was going to disappear with the wagon, swallowed by Agasura. But to emerge victorious on the other side, simply by following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, because when he heard about the Agasura road, and there's only two options for reaching here, Hayagriva Prabhu told him, the options are a jeep, horse and wagon. Srila Prabhupada said, horse and wagon. He said this other times too, that the horse is the most beautiful of all animals. They're pleasing to see. And then he personally sketched one of, as far as I know, only three drawings that we're aware that Srila Prabhupada made. One for Rath Yatra, one for the horse and wagon, and one for the Prabhupada houses that he wanted built here. Nevertheless, with Srila Prabhupada's arrival here, there was not yet horse and wagon transportation. There was not a jeep, but a Ford Power Wagon, four-wheel drive, with chains that keep falling off, and a truck that just was very temperamental. So when Srila Prabhupada arrived at the foot of the Agasura Road to find an assembly of devotees surrounding the power wagon, which Satyabhama, that's Paramananda's wife, had decorated with flower garlands and put pillows on the seats because the springs were sticking out. And Srila Prabhupada looked and he said, where are we going? And the devotees pointed up the hill. And he looked at the truck and said, why don't we walk? I said, no, it's too difficult. So there was an option to the Agasura Road, which was what we called the Ridge Road, that comes across the neighbor of Mr. Snyder's property through the pastures, which was considered a major freeway, driving through the pastures in contrast to the adventures of the Agasura Road. So Srila Prabhupada got in the power wagon and it started up and they began driving to the Ridge Road. And this truck was similar to most trucks in those days, that whenever they came to the hill, they would quit. I don't know if it was contagious, but it was a very common phenomenon. And it happened with Srila Prabhupada. As soon as it tried driving up the first hill, it sputtered and quit. And Srila Prabhupada said again, why don't we walk? And then they said, well, you know, they tried to restart it. It wouldn't start. Well, we're going to have to push it backwards and bump start it, which is very uncomfortable for anybody inside. So they said, well, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you'll have to step out while we try to bump start. He said, why don't we walk? He complied and he got out, but he started walking. And the devotees followed him. Not the Agasura Road, the Ridge Road. And he said, better we walk on our own property. So he walked up the Agasura Road, which means that anybody who traverses that path to this day is performing the fourth item of devotional service, because after Shravanam Kirtanam comes Smarnam, remembering. Next is Padasevanam, following in the footsteps. So there was great excitement in New Vrindavan on that day because Srila Prabhupada was coming from Columbus, where Rishabhdev Prabhu attended his programs and followed here. And of course we had no phones, so Paramananda Prabhu went to a local phone booth or neighbor, I don't know, somewhere he found a phone and called to tell Srila Prabhupada's entourage that it just rained, which means the Agashura road is going to be more formidable than ever. And Hayagriva, the power wagon is being very temperamental. So Srila Prabhupada said, well, get the truck to Ranig. That's Phil Kupfer's older brother. But he couldn't find Ronnie. Well, and get permission to drive the Ridge Road, but he couldn't find Mr. Snyder to get permission. So Srila Prabhupada first blessed this land by leaving footprints for us to follow up the Agashura Road. And since it wasn't planned that it would go that way, it was a little spontaneous, and Dwarkadish, young boy, who Srila Prabhupada very affectionately and delightfully called Mr. DDD. Now that doesn't mean that because these remote incidences in Srila Prabhupada's very charming dealings are something for us to necessarily emulate, as has in some cases been the fashion. So Mr. DDD kept gathering up flat stones and placing them on the creek crossings so that stepping stones for Srila Prabhupada to cross over. And then Srila Prabhupada reached here, emerging from the Agashura Road, which starts right here, but you'll never find it unless you have a guide. He arrived here, and the devotees paraded Kaliya before him. Srila Prabhupada right here met ISKCON's first cow. And they served him Kaliya's milk, which he said was the best milk that he had tasted in 50 years. And the milk was sweetened with local honey, to which Srila Prabhupada commented, land of milk and honey. So Srila Prabhupada was very attentive. He's actually very attentive to everything. He was very much concerned with accommodations because he said, you're immediately going to need 50 men and then 200. So where's the accommodations? So the devotees led him to the pig pen, which is a deceptive name because it was actually a log cabin, but it was literally a pig pen. And Srila Prabhupada went in and he looked. Massive hand-hewed logs craftily pieced together into an actually very opulent structure for pigs. But Kirtananda Maharaj had moved in and Srila Prabhupada said, this is actually very appropriate for sannyasi and brahmacharis. And he looked at the massive, which you can see still, hand-hewed logs. And he said, that must be a lot of effort to build like that. I see Americans are good builders, but it must take so much effort. And Hayagriva said, not at all. And he started up the chainsaw. And he made one cut through the log. And then he started to make the second cut, and the chain flew off. And Srila Prabhupada didn't say a word. And yet his commentary was quite obvious. So then he liked to sit under the persimmon tree, which is just here, and also under the maple tree, right there. And he would look over towards the other ridge. And he said, why don't you talk to the neighbors about buying some land over there? And then you can make a footbridge or a cable car or some way that normal people would be able to get here. And Srila Prabhupada fit right into the New Vrindavan routine. Or rather, New Vrindavan fit into Srila Prabhupada's routine. And he would just roam around. He would go down to the spring, which is now that pond where you cross over on the new road. He would go down there and splash water on his face. And he said, all the hills in Ghat should be named. This is Govardhan Hill, he said. Not to limit this to the only hill, which is Govardhan, because Govardhan is actually a ridge with 108 hills. So this is Govardhan Hill. But where's the flat land, he asked. And Hayagriva said, I'm afraid we left that in Ohio. And he said, no problem, just take the earth from this side of the house and put it on that side of the house. And nobody knew how to do that. So Kirtananda Maharaj said, well, Paul of Tarsus speaks of having the kind of faith to move mountains. And Srila Prabhupada was not impressed with that response. He said, just do it. And I remember the day I arrived, they were still perplexed about how to do that. And it's since been done, so it's almost level now. But back then, it was the house was perched on a very steep hillside, and Srila Prabhupada didn't like that. So, and then one day he saw a stray dog, and he commented on everything, granting us vision through the eyes of a Paramahamsa. He said, the stray dog is benefiting from living in the Holy Dham. And the way he said that confirmed his mood that he wanted a holy place because there was no holy place in America at that time. I mean, there was the Black Hills to the Lakota, but for more theistic cultures, there was no holy place, there was no holy hill, which is crucial to every devotional culture. The Holy Dham was invoked today, right here, in 1969. Srila Prabhupada had been watering the seed since 1968 by his very enthusiastic instructions, because as soon as he heard the possibility for land in Appalachia, he immediately began giving his instructions and he mentally moved in. Now, Srila Prabhupada was formerly a follower of Gandhi before he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So that former orientation to the village life and cow protection, self-sufficiency, it all immediately blossomed when he heard of the possibilities here. And that was before they even had so much as a lease. And the person who owned the land was not even favorable. So Srila Prabhupada immediately gave his instructions, which falls into two major practical categories: live off the land, dependent on nature's beauty and bounty, and cow protection. Those are the practical. The more esoteric, a replica of Vrindavan with seven temples, Govardhan Hill, Radhakund, and Shyamakund. And then the quintessence that binds all those four mandates together, above all, loving Krishna is the main occupation for all the residents here. So, as far as facilities, Srila Prabhupada said, well, 10 men can immediately move into the barn. Now, this wasn't the kind of barn that you see in New Vrindavan today. It was a cow shed. Tiny structure. He said, that'll do for 10 men. And then And then Srila Prabhupada met Reva, the goat. And he said, she was a Mohammedan in her last life. So he would sit here, sometimes up in his room looking out the window, sometimes beneath the persimmon tree or the maple, and he would watch the devotees working in the fields, tending the cows, repairing the old structures. And he commented, these devotees are hypnotized. And Padumna said, because you hypnotized them, Srila Prabhupada said, no, not me. Krishna hypnotized them. Krishna hypnotizes us beyond ourselves, in spite of ourselves, which is actually a very important point. Until we get beyond ourselves, as we know ourselves as made of matter, and come to the stage of pure consciousness, we can't experience the uniting field of energy, which is the source of creation in sound, which is contained in the ether and is preserved here to this very day. So he said, they're hypnotized. And he said, Narada Muni commented like that about the Pandavas, living 12 years in exile with Duryodhana's spies combing the countryside to find them. And Draupadi, so horrendously abused and insulted in a public assembly. And yet, the Pandavas were hypnotized by Krishna. And Narada Muni commented, what a hypnotist Krishna is. So he said, this kind of hypnotic trance that these devotees are demonstrating, this is actually samadhi. Everything they're doing, milking the cows, tending the fields, repairing the buildings, this is all bhakti. And they're in a state of samadhi. And then little DDD came before Srila Prabhupada. He's clearly very tired. And Srila Prabhupada says, Mr. DDD, are you in samadhi? He didn't know what to say. So Srila Prabhupada said, that's okay, take rest. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the dynamics of invoking the Holy Dham. Remember, Srila Prabhupada planted the seed in Montreal and watered it for some time. But the actual invocation of the Holy Dham occurred today, right here, with the arrival of a pure devotee of Vrindavan carrying Krishna in his heart. And how the dynamics of that invocation of the Holy Dham was expressed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who says that Krishna establishes the preeminence of his devotees by empowering them with divine grace and Shakti to distribute his blessings, which includes planting the seed of bhakti in the form of the holy name, as well as establishing holy places. The most holy place in all of creation is Bhoma Vrindavan, which is Krishna's embassy here on earth, where his ambassador, Srila Prabhupada, prepared at Radha Damodar for coming west with the blessings of Jiva Goswami and the other Goswamis. And Sri Dham, which is the culmination of the different components of Krishna's internal potency. There's the Sandini potency, which is Balaram. the Samvit, which is Vasudev, and Laladini Shakti, which is Srimati Radharani, all these energies coalesce to establish the eternality, the cognizance, and the bliss, which constitutes the Holy Dham. And Sri Dham responds when called by her pure devotee to appear anywhere that he so desires. And that replica, that expansion of Bhoma Vrindavan, which Srila Prabhupada named here as New Vrindavan, is like the embassy. No, it's like the consulate. The consulate is also the sovereign property of the motherland, imbued with all her potencies, a subordinate branch of the motherland, Bhoma Vrindavan, empowered for a specific task, which in this case was accommodating and sheltering and inspiring souls on their way back to home, back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada planted the seed and he revealed the vision. And he gave the analogy that devotional service, attaining pure love of God, requires a combination of patience and perseverance and determination. He emphasized the patience, but the perseverance, so you won't be so patient as you wait forever, the enthusiasm, that you want it now. But as you progress, you realize what a lofty goal Srila Prabhupada set for us. And therefore, he gave the analogy that it's like a bride. On the day of a girl's marriage, she's thinking about having a child. But that doesn't come immediately. That comes in time as the fruit of a relationship. And as time goes on, and we become more sober and humble, we realize more and more what a lofty goal Srila Prabhupada set for us in developing pure love of Krishna. To become free of any taint of material desire, even so much as liberation, freedom from misery. You have to become free from all desires to purely love and serve Krishna. And in the process of purification, when you find the subtleties of your illusion going deeper and deeper than you ever imagined, how do you sustain your enthusiasm and patience over the long haul? Srila Prabhupada addressed that very beautifully in one of his more astonishing darshans here in New Vrindavan, which was over at Sankirtan Prabhu's house. On the grass. The devotees were regularly coming to hear from Srila Prabhupada every afternoon, evening, and it was very sweet. And this one darshan was quite astonishing. Now, you've probably heard this before, and we keep coming back to the same place as we keep coming back here, over and over, and hopefully each time on a little deeper level. So the process of maintaining your enthusiasm as the decades stretch on and you realize more and more how far away I actually am from the goal of pure devotional service, the magical formula which will sustain you is revealed. That at Sankirtan Prabhu Mother Ruchi's house in one of the more outstanding of many darshans which occurred there. Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the Zavyasasan, the one that's now in the temple, and with his hands, he was like petting the lions, which were the armrests. And one godbrother, Taru, he asked a question. Now, Srila Prabhupada is being fanned with a chamar on this side by Drishtadyumna Maharaj, and a peacock feather fan on this side by Pushtakrishna Maharaj. So he's sitting there very elegantly petting the lions like a king. And Taru Das, he asked Srila Prabhupada, how do we respond when we attempt to preach to these local farmers, appealing to them to take the devotional service, and they all unanimously respond that we have no time? So Srila Prabhupada turned to Drishtadyumna Maharaj, how would you answer that? And Drishtadyumna Maharaj very confidently said, according to Bhagavad Gita, and then Srila Prabhupada forcefully threw out his hand like this, clearly to stop him. And he said, don't bring in Bhagavad Gita. Now this is something new, because every instruction thus far is that whatever you say has to be supported by Bhagavad Gita. So don't bring in Bhagavad Gita. That was very interesting. So Srila Prabhupada turned to Pushtakrishna Maharaj, said, how would you answer that? Well, Krishna says, and he threw out his other hand forcefully, holding his hand like this, clearly, to stop him. And he said, don't bring in Krishna. Now, at this point, nobody knew how to answer the question. So Srila Prabhupada had to do it himself. So he leaned forward as far as he could in front of Taru, who was the representative of all those imaginary farmers. And Srila Prabhupada very forcefully addressed Taru through him, the farmer. Rascal! Now this is just getting better and better. We don't know where Srila Prabhupada is going with this. So he really had everybody's attention. And we knew this is going to be a profound revelation. Rascal, can you make the sun shine? Can you make the rain fall? You're farmers. And in farm life, you are confronted every day with your total dependence on the grace of Krishna. And then the essence of his instruction. Can't you show a little gratitude for the abundant gifts of the Lord upon which we are totally dependent? And that was it. Now, many of you have probably heard this pastime many times. And it's ever fresh. But I appeal to you, every time you hear this pastime, every time you come here, try to approach it from a deeper level. At this time, when Srila Prabhupada was giving this darshan we're referring to now, Chaitanya Charitamrita was coming out. And we were being graced with the most advanced PhD course in sublime theology and relishing it to no end. And Srila Prabhupada kept bringing us back to the most essential kindergarten lesson, to be grateful. Now, if you're not grateful, you can't assimilate transcendental knowledge. And if you do develop an attitude of gratitude, then you find that that lofty goal of pure devotional service, which we thought in our beginning days was so close at hand, and we realize more and more how far away we are from it. How do you sustain your enthusiasm, your taste for devotional service, your patience and perseverance? There's nothing that opens the heart to reveal an emotional signature of all the most desirable feelings as gratitude. And it's quite profound. Because if you're grateful for what you've been given, because gratitude is a response to a gift that you find meaningful. If we're grateful, and it doesn't necessarily come naturally, if we practice gratitude for the gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and you experience the emotional signature that arises as that mood opens your heart to so many desirable sentiments, it awakens a memory of the future, meaning the feelings of the ultimate goal being granted to us as a matter of providential grace, before we deserve them, to encourage us. Because as we acknowledge our weakness, then the Holy Spirit, which is Krishna's response to our weakness, empowering us, making us strong. But it requires gratitude. And with that gratitude for what we've been given, we can experience the joy of what is yet to come, thereby drawing our future eventuality into the present moment, thereby eclipsing all our past regrets and traumas and disappointments and betrayals, which become irrelevant in the face of gratitude for the gift of life and the treasure of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada emphasized that again at Pahulavan in a special darshan, which was not scheduled. It was spontaneous, when Srila Prabhupada just, without the entourage that usually made it impossible for the cowherd folks in the plow department to get really close to Srila Prabhupada and reveal their heart, here he comes, walking into the hay meadow without any entourage. So we provided the entourage. The only Vrijabhasi's present was the cowherd folks in the plow department, who trailed in behind him very happily. We have him all to ourselves. And he was chanting, lost in his own thoughts, wandering into the hay meadow. And then he looked over his shoulder and he saw the most scraggly group of cowherd folks from plow department. Now this was in the days when we were so grateful that we'd finally received those big boots that you could actually traverse the mud, which we never thought was possible. And now we have big boots. And the cowherd ladies, you know, they had simple saris with patterns made of smears of cow manure. And nobody dressed up, because we never imagined that Srila Prabhupada would just walk right into the field where we were all serving. He did. And he turned around and he looked at the plow department boys with their big boots and their overalls stained with cow manure. I mean, horse manure. And the ladies were just simple saris decorated with patterns of cow manure. And he looked and he beamed with delight. And he commented, these devotees are not opulent, but they're jolly. And when he said jolly, he beamed all the more. And then he turned and kept walking further. And we followed him. And then he stopped in the middle of the meadow and turned to face the devotees who congregated in a semicircle around him. And I have to give just a little bit of background, because here in New Vrindavan, we were thinking, we're the most fortunate of all the devotees in ISKCON. We are the most fortunate. So the first thing Srila Prabhupada said was, you don't know how fortunate you are. You have the land, you have the cows, you have Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And then he said it again, in a more grave way, you don't know how fortunate you really are. Now, all those devotees had something on their minds that they wanted to express to Srila Prabhupada about the management. And we were always squelched. So it was on the tips of our tongues, and Srila Prabhupada read our thoughts and intervened. He said, just cooperate to build this New Vrindavan project, which he said so many times, adding different comments like, and that will be my greatest pleasure. So this is the day and the place where it all began. And from such humble beginnings, New Vrindavan has expanded and blossomed and gone through so many trials and challenges. It's an opportunity to acknowledge the merits of returning to our roots. Because in our roots is unity and harmony and communion and community. And that proper sense of community will eclipse all tendencies for division and quarrel and conflict, which are so imminent in this age of Kali. So Srila Prabhupada established an oasis from the torments of Kali Yuga. A consulate of the embassy of Goloka Vrindavan to grant shelter and inspiration to all souls on the path back to home, back to Godhead, where Srila Prabhupada is awaiting and preparing our final destination for our eventual homecoming. Once again, my gratitude to all of you who have contributed to honoring this very special occasion in so many ways. It is a great privilege and joy to join with you on this special occasion. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.
His Holiness Vaishnava Swami Maharaj ki jai. That's encouraged, Maharaj.